Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service this morning. A special welcome to you if you are listening in for the first time. Welcome to our church family at Fordham and 8 Ash Green. On our website, the order of service with all that you will need today, you might like to refer to that. Let me bring God's word to us from the Psalms as we start our worship today. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's have a prayer together. Our loving Heavenly Father, so much in our world at the moment seems to rest on shifting sands. So much concern and worry as to what lies ahead. Our hope and trust for the future is sorely tested in so many ways. And yet, O Lord our God, we come to you this morning wanting afresh to worship you and sing of your great love and faithfulness and our dependence upon it. The words of our first hymn affirm that our hope is in your Son, Jesus Christ. He is our light, our strength, our solid ground, firm through the fiercest storm.
This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are what striving seems. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied for every sin. Thank you.
come now to confess our sins to God, picking up some words from wonderful hymn. On that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. In our confession prayer this morning, we will think about and confess how much we have lived by our own strength and wisdom, and at times have been so overwhelmed by the uncertainty of our days that we have failed to bring to bear our security that comes from heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. Before we say the words of confession on our service sheet, let's spend a few moments bringing to mind how we have relied upon our own strength and understanding. This is a response confession. When I say the words, "In your mercy, forgive us," you say, "Lord, hear us and help us." Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for this world alone and have doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. Amen. And the promise of forgiveness. Some words again from In Christ Alone. Sin's curse has lost its grip of me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name. Amen. Now Colin is going to come and read our Bible reading to us.
This morning's Bible reading is from Matthew 15. Verses 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew in the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demonic possession." Jesus did not have a word, so his disciples came to him and in and urged him, "Send away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the minister's table, from the master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now we affirm our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the words of the Response Creed. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now we come to our sermon video. This is given by Mark Wallace of the Church Society, and the title he's given to his sermon is Never Despair. At first glance, this is not an easy passage, but we shall hear how this Canaanite, this Gentile woman, kneels before Jesus asking for his help. In the presence of his disciples and the teachers of the law of Moses, he commends her for her great faith.
Do you ever feel close to despair? Do you ever find yourself worrying that things are getting out of control? Politics, pandemics, prejudice, deceit, division, discord? Do you find yourself wondering what's becoming of our nation, indeed of our world? Well, it's important to remember that the Bible insists nothing fundamental has changed, nothing eternal has been altered. But we need passages like this one here in Matthew 15 to remind us of exactly that. But first, we just need to consider Jesus' comments here in verse 25. It would be easy, I think, to take offence needlessly, so let's look again at what's happening here. For the Jews of Jesus' day, who saw themselves as the children of God, it was common to refer to the Gentiles as dogs. Was it kind? No. Was it gracious? No, of course not. But it was common. And Jesus picks up on that usage, on that language, as he engages now with this Gentile woman. He says to her, "It is not right to take the children's bread," in other words, that which is meant for the Israelites, "and throw it to the dogs," in other words, to give it to the Gentiles. To which she replies, verse 27, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." I think Jesus is testing her faith here. She kneels before him. She calls him Lord. But does she really understand what it means to be a Gentile, an outsider, as she comes into his presence? And her answer shows that she understands quite clearly. She accepts her place, but believes Jesus can still help her. And Jesus is impressed by her faith. Now, contrast this with the spiritual leaders of the time. Can they see what's going on around them? Can they interpret the signs of the times? Well, that phrase, signs of the times, comes from this particular section of Matthew's Gospel. In chapter 16, Jesus observes that the Pharisees and the Sadducees may know all about the weather, red sky at night, shepherd's delight, that sort of thing, but they haven't got a clue about how to interpret the theological signs of the times. And the Lord Jesus makes this observation in the light of the little cameo we see with this Canaanite woman. Now, if you remember from our reading, when Jesus withdraws to the area near Tyre and Sidon, that's up north, by the way, this woman, whose daughter is oppressed by a demon, comes out and begs for help. Clementine, one of the early church fathers, tells us that the woman's name was Justa, and her daughter's name was Bernice. Justa kneels at Jesus' feet and begs him to help. And because of her faith, Bernice is instantly healed. And do the Pharisees and the Sadducees understand what this means? Nay. Can they interpret the signs of the times? Nay. And the details are important here. Jesus is making a profound point, well, actually, two profound points. But without the details, we'll miss the full impact. The first is that this Canaanite woman represents the enemies of God. Throughout the Bible, the Canaanites are the enemies of the Israelites. Whenever they get a chance to put one over God's people, they take that chance with a vengeance. And Jesus has gone to their country. He's gone to Tyre and to Sidon and the land around. And yet, as this representation of God's enemies comes before Jesus, she kneels. She, of all people, recognizes the Messiah. And the point Matthew is seeking to convey here is that the Lord Jesus has absolute authority over his enemies. They kneel before him. It's a shadow of that moment when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Moreover, with just one word, Matthew emphasizes that the Lord Jesus also has authority over something else. Bernice was healed instantly. The evil that had possessed her, that had ruined her life, was gone. Gone in a moment. Jesus' authority over evil was complete. Authority over enemies, authority over evil. The Pharisees couldn't see it, the Sadducees couldn't see it, but surely we can, can't we? His enemies will bow before him, however hostile they may have been. All evil will give way and flee before him, however terrible it may have been. And this is the hope that we can hold out to those who are struggling. This is the hope that we can hold out to those who are fearful. This is the hope that we can hold out to those who are oppressed. This is the hope that we can hold out to those who are suffering. This is the light that can shine in the darkness. For those being martyred for their faith, there is the confidence that evil will not triumph, that enemies will not overcome, that death is not the end, that justice will be done, and that light will overcome darkness. For us, seeking security and certainty in an uncertain and insecure world, there is the comfort of knowing it can be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you despair of what the world is coming to? You don't need to, because Jesus is still the good shepherd caring for his sheep. Do you despair that the light at the end of the tunnel is in fact the oncoming train? You don't need to, because Jesus is the one from whom evil flees. Do you, like so many others, rage against the dying of the light? You don't need to, because with the promise of heaven, Jesus reassures us that the best is always yet to come. And how can this be ours? Remember what Jesus said to the woman? Not great is your love, not great are your works, not great is your knowledge. No, what he says, what he commands is this: great is your faith. She had decided that Jesus was trustworthy. She had come to the conclusion that Jesus was faithful. And that's all Jesus was seeking. And that's all Jesus is ever seeking. He looks for that faith in us. He longs to see that trust in us. Not a faith or a trust in ourselves, but a faith and a trust in his trustworthiness and faithfulness. But a question remains as we close. Are we willing, like the Canaanite woman in verse 25, to come to Jesus, to kneel before him, and to say, Lord, help me? Well, maybe you've never done so. In which case, will you do so today, for the very first time? Or maybe you've already many, many times done this, but need to do so once more, right now. What is it that you need help for? Forgiveness for failure? Strength for today? Relief from suffering? Wisdom to discern? Whatever help you need, and whether or not this is the first time you've come to the Lord, to kneel before him and to say, Lord, help me. Let's do so now. And let's pray as we close. Lord, we need your help. We need your grace and mercy. Thank you that you are the Messiah, able to rescue your people. We pray simply today, Lord, help me. Lord, meet us in our time of need. Heal us and restore us. Amen.
We come to our second hymn this morning. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. When I sing this hymn, I always recall one of my tutors at theological college many, many years ago. When introducing this hymn, he would always emphasize that the name of Jesus is only sweet in a believer's ear. So is the name of Jesus sweet in your ear, because he can soothe your sorrows, heal your wounds, and drive away your fear.
Okay. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled. Manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest. Dear name, the rock on which I my never failing treasury fill with boundless stores of grace. And King, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, except the praise I bring.
Lord Jesus, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. And now we come to our prayers of intercession. My wife, Leslie, is going to lead us in our prayers.
We'll begin with a prayer that was published on the Archbishop of Canterbury's Facebook page, and it seems appropriate for today. And after each line, your response will be, "His Spirit is with us." The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. We need not fear. His Spirit is with us. We are surrounded by God's love. His Spirit is with us. We are immersed in His peace. His Spirit is with us. We rejoice in hope. His Spirit is with us. And we travel together in faith. His Spirit is with us. Amen. Sometimes in these difficult days, we don't know how to pray. And I often find that reading the scriptures can inform my prayers and help me. These are some words from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can meet together this morning to worship you, to hear your word, to pray together, and in these strange and difficult days, help us to know your presence with us in all things. We thank you for each other, for all that we share together in you. Bless this time as we bring you our prayers. Be on your guard. We want to be effective witnesses for you in our daily lives. Help us to trust you more and more. Feed us with your word. Teach us to pray that we will be on our guard, not falling into temptation and letting you down. Keep our eyes on you. We pray for our relationships, that the fruit of your Spirit will be evident in our lives, and that we will have the knowledge of your grace and love in all that we do, bringing glory to you. Guard our hearts and minds. Stand firm in the faith. We thank you that we have a gospel to proclaim. And we pray especially for our drive-in service this evening. We pray for Andy Jelfs as he brings your word, that it will be irresistible, pointing to Jesus and all that he has done for us, for your amazing love. Be in all the details that will make this outreach effective and fruitful. Help us to stand firm as your church on the truth of your word. We pray for the appointment of the new Bishop of Chelmsford, that he will be a man that stands firm in the faith and will lead in all truth. We pray for your global church to stand firm in the faith and the truth of Jesus, and that you help us as your church here. We remember your church persecuted, all those who are in fear and difficulty, that they will have the strength to stand firm. Be courageous, be strong. Strengthen us in these days when church is different. Cause us to seek how we can make a difference in our villages, schools, and workplaces. We bless you for all that you are calling us to do. We pray especially for France's installation this coming Thursday, that although we can't be together to celebrate, we can all pray and be joined together in fellowship. We thank you and bless you that Francis is courageous and strong and stands firm in all things of faith. Prosper his ministry here in this place. May he encourage and equip us all to be more effective in our witness to the saving power of Jesus in our lives and to be partners together in the gospel. Hide him, Georgina, and his family from the evil one as they serve us here. Bless them and keep them, we pray. Do everything in love. Thank you that we know what love is because of you, Lord Jesus. Help us to love one another. We pray especially for the opportunity to share lunch with each other on September the 13th, in response to Francis' teaching in Acts, that we can meet with one other household and share a meal and fellowship. Show us how we can reconnect with one another in this way, to share all that the Lord has been doing, in response to your word and your teaching, sharing together with glad and sincere hearts. We remember all those who are known to us who are unwell or in need at this time, and in love we bring them to you. Please be all they need this day. Bring them peace and healing. And go with us into this week. May we do everything in love. May we show the love of Jesus to all we come into contact with. And we bring our prayers together, firstly with the collect, which is printed on the service sheet, which we'll say together, and then with the Lord's Prayer. So first, the collect for today. We say together, Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down on us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things in which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And now we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Now Francis is going to bring church family news.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you here today. And it was rather gloomy when we started, wasn't it? And it's lovely that the sun has come out, taking away that autumnal feeling here in the church. Some items of church family news. This afternoon, the Matthew group for young people aged 11 and up will be meeting on Zoom. That will be at 3 p.m. rather than the time advertised on the service sheet. Please do pray for Katie and my wife Georgina as they endeavour to re-establish this ministry to young people and to teach them God's word. And please also pray that we might be able to start a similar group for younger children. This evening at 6 p.m., we look forward to our first ever drive-in church, as Leslie has just prayed. This will be an opportunity for us to worship God in song together for the first time in actually 5 months. So I'm very much looking forward to that. We've had good bookings on the cars. Andy Jelfs will be preaching on measuring God's love. And I'll be leading the service and the sung worship with the help of Ron Knights. If you're coming, do please read the guidance notes on Eventbrite carefully so that we can have a safe and enjoyable time together. And I look forward to seeing you later outside the Black Barn. God willing, and all the plans are in place, I'll be instituted as rector this coming Thursday, 3rd of September at 7:30 p.m. I'm sorry that I haven't been able to invite everyone to attend, but due to social distancing restrictions, we can only have 30 people here in the building. So please do join us for the video live stream, which can be accessed along with the order of service through the website on the night. And in spite of social distancing, this event is a key opportunity to strengthen our links with other churches, especially those that want to shape their life and ministry according to the scriptures. So do please pray that it will achieve that. Bishop Roger of Colchester will institute me with Bishop Rod Thomas, the Bishop of Maidstone, preaching the sermon. Let's pray for God's blessing on the occasion. And it's an opportunity for the whole church family to renew our commitment to serving together the Lord Jesus Christ and being part of this Christian fellowship here in Fordham and 8 Ash Green. Last month, I launched a fundraising appeal to resource the appointment of a children's and youth worker in 2021. I'm pleased to say that £32,000 has been pledged towards the first 3 years of the post. So we want to recruit for 3, and then if it's going well, to extend it to 5. So this is a great start, and this gives us funding for salary and pension for one of those 3 years. We need to raise 90,000 to cover the first 3 years. So far, 12 households have pledged. Can you help to make this plan a reality by pledging your financial support? The deadline's in 2 weeks' time on the 14th of September, and further details can be found on page 8 of the notice sheet. It's fitting that our preacher today was Mark Wallace, because it's just been announced that he has been appointed to be senior chaplain to Rod Thomas, the Bishop of Maidstone. Mark will continue to lead St. Peter's Colchester on a half-time basis, and will cease to be the vicar of St. Botolph's Colchester from next week. This new role will see Mark supporting Bishop Rod in his ministry week by week, helping to oversee new initiatives, drafting material, and offering advice and encouragement to parishes. And PCC members who are attending my institution in person will be able to congratulate Mark on the night. Our next prayer focus evening will be on Thursday, the 10th of September on Zoom. Please save the date in your diary and do make it a priority to come and join together with the church family in prayer. This is always one of the most important meetings in the life of our church, and even more so when we're restricted in our meeting together. And I have been surprised and encouraged by how well praying works together on Zoom. So do join in. On the 13th of September, we plan to have Sunday lunch together in our homes. Church life has been disrupted over the last few months, but government regulations now permit us to meet with one other household at home. So on the 13th, I'd like to encourage as many pairs of church households as possible to share a meal together. This is one way that we can really build church life at the present time. We can connect and enjoy fellowship together. And we're going to take our lead from the first Jerusalem church in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. We've invited the Ola Jamoka family and look forward to having them with us for lunch. Have a think and a pray. Who could you invite? It might be a whole family or someone who lives alone. Leslie Southern is going to coordinate the lunch, so please go ahead and invite someone, and when it's arranged, email or message her to let her know. Her contact details are on page 7 of the notice sheet. It may be that you'd like to host, but you're not sure who to invite, or it may be that you'd love to be invited. In either of those cases, do please get in touch with Leslie so that she can pair everyone up. And please don't feel that the meal needs to be elaborate. It's the being together that's important. And let's pray that the whole church can come together in 2 weeks' time. Back to Paul.
Thank you, Francis. For those of us gathered here, just a little gentle reminder that so that we can be safe to meet here, we need to just go home and not stand around and chat with each other as much as we'd love to, but we mustn't do that. So let's have a final prayer and blessing. Thank you, Father God, for all that we have learned about you and ourselves this morning. Grant this week that we should never feel far from your presence, and that faith and trust in your precious Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, would be our strength and stay in all we face. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you.